Did you hear about Bieber, Jack?
Justin Bieber?
Justin Bieber.
I did not.
Well, we're going to talk about him here today on the show. I'm Zach.
I'm Jack.
And we're here. Welcome to Unscripted Scripture. What we do is we talk about the Bible, try to make it interesting, and we relate it to things going around in the world today. Are you ready, Jack?
I'm ready, Zach.
Before we do, do you want to ask me a question? I don't know. I feel like that's what we're doing.
Yeah, you're usually the guy with the questions.
Okay. But, do you have one?
I don't.
Basically, Jack and I recorded like a good 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
Before we realized that the batteries in my mic were dead, so everything I said was not recorded. So this is trial 2, and it's going to be just as good.
Yeah, it's going to be better, hopefully. Glad we fixed it before we went through the whole episode, though.
I have a little beef with you. On your computer, a text just came up, and it's from the Mylan group chat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to get married to go into the Curo group chat. You just, like, get down on knee and pop the question, and all of a sudden, you're in the group chat.
Dude, they hooked me up with that the day that I got engaged to Jenna. It was awesome. We were riding in the car, and they're like, "Is that Jack to the group chat?" And I got on, and
it was an immediate thought.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, I had to, like...
You had to grovel.
It was, like, a week after. I had to, like, bake a meal for them, and... No, I'm just kidding. I think your group chat is more involved than my group chat.
I don't know.
So
I'm kind of just watching now. I haven't really engaged with it.
Well, my Facebook, ours is through Facebook Messenger.
Yeah.
And someone hacked through my Facebook so I can't see everything. Yeah. Darn. Yeah, that's another thing. If someone out there knows how to unhack a Facebook, contact me.
Or if you are the hacker.
Oh.
Stop.
No, let's be friends.
We'll give you a sticker, man.
I'll just tell you what to post, and then you can post for me or comment.
You'll be your guy, your social media
there you
manager.
Go. Yeah. All right. So
cool.
Talking about some false prophets here, maybe. Let's kick it off, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Justin Bieber. What?
Well, I brought him up because he just came out with that album, Freedom. When I say just, I just found out about it, so I don't really know how long ago it was. I know he came out with it this year because I saw on the album cover it said 2021.
Yeah.
And I read a little bit of the information below the album cover, and it said he came out with it a couple days after he came out with the album Justice. So if you're a big Justin Bieber fan or just pop culture, you already know this. But yeah, he came out with an album called Freedom that's a gospel album.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm surprised that I didn't hear about this from my Justin Bieber fan club.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. But yeah, that's interesting. That seems to be something that has come up a lot actually with him recently. And we've seen that also with Kanye. We were talking about before the shoot that they were both jumping into this gospel music, but how close to the gospel is that, and how devoted are they to living that out day to day? And it's not just for their music, not just gain a new demographic of listeners, I guess is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And that kind of...
Well, that's the question.
That's the question
we want to ask. Like,
yeah.
I think a lot of Christians go through it today, like, I listen to Justin Bieber already, but not as a Christian artist. Mm. And now, like, what do I think that he's a Christian artist? Have you listened to any of the songs?
I listened to one that's called Holy. It's got with Chance the Rapper. And it's a good song, but as far as categorizing him as like a worship singer or a singer-songwriter that displays Christian music, I don't know if I would do that. And that's the big question. Kind of highlighting this is, how do we know if someone is or is not a false prophet, and where do we go from there, you know, according to scripture and according to what God has ordained through the Bible.
Do you remember anything from the Holy song? Because I think that was on his Justice.
The Holy song?
You don't have to, you can look it up.
I don't know. I mean,
it's not on his Freedom album.
No, and here's the thing, like, music, that music can be great. It can be totally devoted to pushing that message out. But if it stops there and that the message is, you know, if he's mixing that music with other music that he's always done in the past about you know, I don't know, girls and teenage love and right. and even this like really explicit rap that he's done or something like that, it seems like it's sending mixed messages. And that's the problem that we're thinking of here. It's like, if he's solely devoted to doing gospel music from here on out, that might be a different story. And that might be a true change of heart, which we will never know. I mean, we could talk about it for years and years and years, but until you actually know the guy and sit down and have a conversation with him, you'll never know that. So for us, Zach and I, we're just speculating.
Right. This is just our opinions.
And trying not to judge, but trying to understand, like, give you the listeners the example of, like, how do you know who to listen to and who is trustworthy and pushing the gospel message?
Are we calling him a false prophet or not?
No. I wouldn't call him a false prophet.
Yeah, neither would I. I think if you would ask me, Jack, like, what I would think of this album.
What do you think of this album?
Oh, so basically what I think is it's just his testimony album. Hmm. I think in one of his songs, we're all in this together or something like that.
That sounds like High School Musical.
Yeah, I know. We're in this together. I listened to the album a couple times throughout the week when preparing, and then all day today at work, I just had it on replay.
Nice.
But We're All in This Together. It kind of talks about his, here, I'm going to pull up the lyrics and play it in the background.
All right, pull
hopefully
it up.
Our audience can't hear it so we don't get copyrighted.
Mm-hmm.
Abby would be so mad. but pretty much, I don't know what the audience thinks, but I didn't think this was one of his good albums at all. I think it was like one of those old Lecrae albums that was like 90s rap music that you just listened to it because it was Lecrae and it was a Christian album. Like, you're like, oh, Christian rap, I'm going to listen to this. And it wasn't really that good back when Lecrae was still growing. Yeah. And he had a couple of one or two good songs. But anyways, Justin Bieber, I remember watching Belieber with my sister. Yeah, I brought that up. I can't believe I did.
I've never seen that.
And I think I remember in it, he did have some like videos where he grew up in the church and he was kind of went to a church and that's how he sang. And but he kind of just talks about in this, We're All in This Together, how he kind of was a guy, how he grew up, and here, I'll just read scripture. Only 2 years old, I was playing drums on table. Guess I knew it was only thing stable. When I was young, I could pick up things quick. Anything that I did, I was pretty good at. Hmm. And then he talks about how when he went to school, he became a troublemaker. And then he thought he knew everything about life. And then, yeah, that caught up with me later.
Hmm.
He learned about humility. He had to grow and accept the responsibility. Anyways, he talked about how hard it was because when he turned 17, he became a millionaire. He had $1 million. And then how, like, women were throwing themselves at him.
Hmm.
And then he kind of goes in and talks about how everyone thinks he has the life. Like, everyone's striving for this life. And he's like, just to ask the question, what are we alive for? So
yeah.
He pretty much had it all. And he was saying, I still was asking.
He's looking for a purpose.
What's this all about? Yeah. So I think that song was his testimony. Other songs too. And in that song, it's explicit. So he curses.
Yeah.
And so like, it's just totally him.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what to think of it.
Well, and the thing does he even consider himself to be a teacher? Like, does he consider his music, based on what you said, like looking for a purpose, maybe he is shifting this way to put something into the world that he missed before. Like, he was putting music out, but it wasn't music with a purpose. It wasn't really music that he was striving for. So maybe this is a turning point for him, and he is coming to faith, or he has come to faith, and he's just reshaping his image. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's the best thing in the world for any artist in any genre to be able to do that and to shift to worship. But people do get that bad rap that he could be a false prophet, and like, has he really changed? Is he really good? And like, I think it's up for us in that case to listen as intently as we can and really dissect that music for what he's doing.
Yeah, but that's such a game. Like, I know, don't want to be playing like, oh, should I be listening to this guy or not type of stuff. I mean, you can go in the Bible and it just says, well, stay away from false prophets.
Yeah.
But why? I don't want to be playing this game where, oh, Justin Bieber, is he a God follower or not? I mean, I think he's a normal guy.
Why is that?
Because he's a normal. I think he's a normal guy like me and you.
Yeah. And we don't want to judge.
He has a platform. I don't want to, like, Justin Bieber putting out a Christian album. I don't think we should just be looking at every little thing he does then, because he's like, oh, he's a Christian. Well, then if he's a Christian, then he's a hypocrite in this, this, and that. Mm. Well, look at me. Look at you.
Yeah.
I'm a Christian, and I say things that I tell people not to do, and then I do them. Like, yeah, don't talk unwholesome or don't commit adultery. And I think those are two very things, good things where, oh, crap, I stubbed my finger. I just said, oh, crap, right now. Like, is that an unwholesome mouth? Or I see a girl walking by, and even though I'm married, I'm like, oh, that's nice. And those are just things that happen through my mind, even though I know they're wrong.
Yeah.
So I think, don't be quick to judge and see him as a human being.
Sure.
Who's giving his testimony. Now, I don't think he's following God. I don't think he's all in.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know that. And you really, you don't even know that from your neighbor next door, you know, 90% of the time. You have to engage in relationships with people to really know their heart. But I think where this is different and where we're kind of, this idea of a false prophet in Scripture and watching out for them, I don't think it's for the people like Justin Bieber and like Kanye. I think that if they start to gain that following of believers who start to spout that, like, oh, this is the word of God and this is this and that, then that's a different story. If Bieber were then to entertain that ideas and say that, like, he is speaking the word of God through his music, that's a little, that's
flirting. Yeah, he's not teaching, he's just giving a testimony. Teaching,
exactly.
And he's trying to, I mean, it's very surfacey.
Yeah.
There was other lyrics in there that I was like, okay. Like, he's like, if you're listening to this song, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your father. I'm praying for your mother, your grandmother, it really seemed like a Christian who was trying to rap in their basement.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't seem that good. Like, it seemed like something I would write or you would write.
But in Scripture, where it's told to call out these people, there's one in 1 Timothy 5 that says in 19, do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. But those elders who are sinning, you are to reprove before everyone so that the others may take warning. So we're told here, Paul's encouraging us to call out these people, and then he eventually goes on to list them by name and says, to this person, you're sinning. You know, I'm denouncing you as a preacher, as a prophet. And that sort of stuff does happen today. And that's as Matthew 7:15 says, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. They are teachers of the word who are sending out different messages to believers, and believers are taking that in as the word of God. And that's really where it's heavier than what Justin Bieber's doing. Because Justin Bieber is just music. He's preaching music, and people are going to take that any way they want. But he's preaching about hopefully he's going to continue to preach about gospel truths and gospel messages, and that's going to be interpreted by people forever, you know, as he continues to make music. But for these teachers who believe that this is what God says and this is the Bible they believe, this is how they run their church, this is how they are instructing their communities, and then their communities believe this, that's where it gets dangerous. And that's where the wolf in sheep's clothing takes over.
That's a great analogy. Like, just think of a wolf.
That's awesome, man.
In sheep's clothing, like a disguise.
So, like deceitful, yeah. and scary to know that, like, you are a sheep, we are sheep, and that there are wolves around us disguised as one of us. You know, there are people out there to get us, to trick us, and they look just like us. That's so scary to think about. But that's the truth in our world. Like, that's
so
today there's people like that.
What so we're denying, I mean, no, we're defining false prophets as someone who is supposedly teaching you the word of God but steers you in the wrong direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
On purpose, like they know they're doing it.
I don't know. I don't know if that's the case. I think that they may be influenced by something of the world that makes them believe that what they're preaching is the true word of God. So I'm going to give you an example, but I'm going to set it up like this. First of all, before I do this, I don't want to encourage anyone to immediately go out and call somebody out for being a false prophet. It's not something to be done lightly. I'm going to continue to repeat that. Calling people out is not something that that can be, should be, will be, ever be done lightly. It's a really hard thing to do because you don't want it to sound like judgment. You don't want it to sound like you are bringing someone down to sound smarter, to sound like you know what you're talking about. Because I still don't know what I'm talking about half the time.
Right.
But with me, like, Joel Osteen has been the only person that has raised eyebrows for me and allowed me to question, like, are there really people out there that are false in their teachings? And I've listened to some of his sermons and I've tried to take it in and tried to hear what he has to say. And some of it I do agree with, but his overall talk about prosperity gospel, he's like a prosperity teacher. He himself has denounced that, to saying he's not a prosperity teacher. But the way he preaches and what he preaches about and how he does it, it all aligns with that type of gospel. And it's defined as financial blessing and physical well-being are always the will of God. And that they believe that through faith, through good speech, and through donating to religious causes, that will increase your own wealth. And so basically, like, if you donate to the church, if you donate to here, you will gain money on your end too. And
okay,
for me, there's no guarantee of that anywhere in the word, that you will die a rich person, that you will live a rich person, you will live a rich lifestyle. But for Joel Osteen and for his church and for people who believe the prosperity gospel, it's very much that way, that I have to maintain a good image. I have to dress nice. I can't go around with stains on my shirt. I can't be like raggedy. I can't go out of my house uncombed hair. And to me, that's just like you're initiating that your outward appearance of, you know, having material things and your looks is the way to gain God's pleasure. And that's a big, like, red flag for me. And so I would lean to say that Joel Osteen is leading people the wrong way. I don't know if I would fully call him a false prophet, but for me, those examples of, like, how I've been convicted of that, you know, kind of lead me down that road. And I would see him as someone who's, you know, he's a very rich guy, huge church, and he's got like a multi-million dollar mansion, all this, you know, and it's just, it doesn't make much sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, the church closed their doors on hurricane victims that were asked to, they wanted to shelter there at his huge church and use it as like a hurricane relief place, and they closed their doors.
Oh, really?
And so that was like other stuff that kind of tied into that. So that's just my big example of something like that.
This is so tough to, like, first off, false prophets is tough to talk about. Like Jack said, like, before I came here yesterday, I was studying, and Jacqueline was like, be careful what you say. Like, you don't want to get off on the wrong, you don't want to be a false prophet, or you don't want to get someone angry at you or whatever. And I guess that's the nice thing about this is we just talk into a mic, so we don't have someone on the other side that's we can see is angry at us. They just stop listening to us.
They might be one day. We'll see. They might come at us.
Yeah. But I think for a non-Christian to look at this and be like, oh, there's Joel Osteen. Like, he's a Christian. He's a good guy. But then they see, like, Christians they know saying, oh, no, that's awful. That guy's awful. He's a false prophet, blah, blah, blah. You're like, well, what do you mean? I hear all this great stuff he does. Mm-hmm. And, like, so am I not supposed to... I'm trying to just become a Christian, and you're telling me that guy's bad? So then I have to kind of, like, reset, like, who's good and who's bad. And I think it's just... It's too much of a game we play. There's a preacher who... Well, there's many preachers that did it now, but just kind of called out worship artists being false prophets. Mm. And so the big question is, where? How do I know who's a false prophet and who's not? And if we look in 1 John 4, it reads, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God." Hmm. So, and then I'm trying to see if I want to read more of it, if it relates. "This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world." So
that's awesome.
If Jesus is there, like, this is in the Bible, this is your answer. If they relate it back to Jesus, you know it's the Spirit. You know it's flesh from God. If there's no relation back to Jesus, no acknowledgement of Jesus and what he stood for, it's not of God. It's not from God.
Yeah. But it's right there. Like, it's a test. It's not easy. Like, it's a hard thing to do. You have to, it's calling you to test their spirit. It's, you know, he's saying that you have to be patient and really listen, really look at their words. And are they acknowledging that Jesus is Lord? Like, are they acknowledging that? And if they're not, like, that's, you cut them off, man.
Yeah. I think it's so hard for a non-believer in this state of world, which we have to remember as Christians, like, what we're doing and what we're looking like. Because if Christians are judging other so-called Christians, that's so tough on a non-believer. Because, like I said, they could feel good from this worship music, and it could have brought them to Christ. And then you say, oh, no, 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 that's not the way you should be believing. Hmm. And that can just make someone give up on...
Yeah, it's tough.
We really got to watch what we call non-profits and what we call profits.
Non-profits. Yeah.
Non-profits.
Like, non-profits.
Yeah, I know.
No, that's good.
It didn't sound right. Didn't feel right.
And what's key is, like, it involves listening to man. Like, every time we go to church, we're listening to a man attempting to hear the word of God and attempting to just be as transparent as possible. Like, allow the Spirit to come in and come right back out. Like, that's why I would hope every preacher hopes to do. But there are times where you just don't know who to believe, like, who is just making things up, and or on stage they seem to be a great preacher, and then behind the scenes they're just living very nasty and not trusting in that.
Do we call that a false prophet, though?
I don't know. I mean, so my analogy would be to Ravi Zacharias.
Right, and I didn't know this Jack until you told me
yeah.
last week.
Ravi, just a crazy good preacher for most of his life. Like 40
yeah, I remember
years.
Listening to him when I was mowing. Dude. I'd be mowing and I'd hear him on the yeah. radio and I'd turn it up. And
like so good, like listen. Really able to bring people together and able to guide people to know Jesus.
Right, he taught me a lot of things.
But then after he died, or through the end of his life, it was revealed that he had an extensive past of abusing women and you know, at times even raping them, even like really nasty stuff that was just, I mean, unheard of, like totally of the devil type of sin, like yeah. just crazy. And like the fact that he was such a pronounced, like a really highly regarded preacher, that he would do those things, it left a lot of people that came to faith through him questioning, like, is my faith real?
Because yeah, of exactly. That? That's what I'm saying. Real? Yeah.
And I love Piper, man. Piper nailed it. He was like, he had a question. Someone asked him that question because they came through faith through Ravi. And his whole thing was that you came to faith. You know, Ravi helped you get there, but you came to faith through Jesus. And Jesus was revealed to you regardless of what this man did behind the scenes. Like, if you know that Jesus is the Lord and that he is the only way to the Father, and you have accepted that, you are saved. You have that salvation. Regardless of what this man did, you're still saved by grace. Like, and no matter what prophets teach you what, if you understand the gospel truth and you believe in the gospel truth from the Bible and not just from the preacher, then you're going to be saved. You're going to feel that salvation. That's like the key part of this, is that that's like the only truth that's not going to lie to you, that's not going to be false, that's not going to, you know, teach different things just to gain money, just to gain fame, to abuse power. Like, the Bible's that only truth. That's,
well, and that's our whole reason for this podcast.
I was just going to say that too, man. Yeah. That's it.
Like, if you're going to Sunday school or whatever, it's not Sunday school anymore.
I got a Sunday
we're
school.
Older. if you just go to church on Sunday and you're listening to the preacher, that's not enough. Like,
yeah,
you hear their opinion and they're supposed to spark you and get you going for the week, but it's waking up and having your own opinions in the Bible, seeing what God's talking or trying to teach you that day, and just being open to what you're reading in his word. And I think that crosses off all those false prophets where, yeah, sure. I think, well, you told, like, about that question that was asked to Piper, am I still a believer?
Am I still a believer, yeah.
Even though Rabbi Zacharias brought me to Christ. And I think it's, like you said, Jesus the one who brought you, but
yeah,
it's your actions after that. Like, if you just, like, heard Ravi talk, and then you're like, I'm a believer, and then just went on your life normally, then, yeah, I'm sure, no, you're not really there. But if you took the actions to open your Bible, just kind of search more and get more at it, then yeah, you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and you've taken actions that God has been able to fill you more, make you more fruitful.
Yeah. I just don't, like, what questioned me, like, I always have a question, is what are those false prophets' intentions truly? At the bottom of their heart, like, are they going to the pulpit every Sunday and like, man, I can't wait to preach because I'm gonna get another check in my bank account? Or are they going up there to actually talk to the masses and talk to the people and like bring the word of God to them and know what kind of opportunity they have, what kind of authority that they've been given? And that's where it's questionable for me, man. Like, how can you be on that stage and have like thousands of people that you're talking to and be consumed with something other than just glorifying God through your words? Like, I just,
that's why I asked the question, what are we defining as a false prophet? Because I can't see in my head someone having the guts to do that
Man.
After, like, knowing somewhat the power of God to walk up on that stage, I can't imagine. Like, it made me think.
God can strike you down.
Yeah.
Any moment.
I know.
Man, I'll give a short story here. Acts 8 talks about, so this is the church is formed, and Simon the sorcerer, chapter 8, verse 9. Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. So pause right there. Simon, you know, practicing magic, practicing sorcery, and, you know, getting people to smile, getting them to be amazed. And people called him as having the great power of God. All just because of what he appeared to show them. And then Philip came, Philip the apostle, and proclaimed the good news of the kingdom. And people were baptized, and people believed, and they had changed lives. Not just astonished faces, not just astonished looks, like they were changed. And so Simon saw this and was captivated by it, because he's like, how could you do that? Like, how can you? He's not thinking to the depths of Jesus. He's like just seeing the surface level of how these people are changed. It goes on to say, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria, I guess, to like kind of verify and bring the Holy Spirit. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not come to any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of Jesus. So they hadn't received that power. They hadn't received that changed life. They had just been baptized and had believed that they were going to, they believed in Jesus. They believed in what he did. Peter and John came, placed their hands on them, and received the Holy Spirit. Now, we look back at Acts 2, we see that they were given the authority by God to do that, and to and to bring the Holy Spirit to people, because that was the start of the church, and that was the start of, you know, people accepting Jesus and allowing the Holy Spirit to then live in them. And Simon saw this, and that the Spirit was, he saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands. So then he offered them money. He offered Peter and John money and said, he said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." And that was the red flag right there. Like, how can your money bring you, like, he was saying that I just want this power to bring me fame, to bring me the, just all for me. It's all for me. It's not about Jesus. And Peter harshly, you know, renounced him. "May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Peter was intense, man. Then Simon said, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." And after that, they continued to proclaim the word of the Lord and testify about Jesus. And then they returned to Jerusalem and kept preaching the gospel.
If there's any verse to shut down Joel Osteen, it would be that
dude,
that passage, like, right there.
Money, fame cannot give you this power. Like, you do not have that authority. You can't buy the Holy Spirit. You can't buy gospel truth. Like, you have to feel in your heart. You have to accept Jesus as Lord. Like your verse said in 1 John, like, you have to do that in order to even come close to having that authority. You know, it's an intense thing.
As we summarize here what went on today, first, Justin Bieber, nonprofit, a false prophet or not.
Yeah. I don't think so. I'm going to say no. I don't think he's a false prophet.
Yeah, I would say too. I think he's just a guy who's using his platform.
Absolutely.
Giving his testimony, just like you and me. Giving,
yeah, trying to change his image to better the gospel, hopefully.
We'll see where he goes, but I think, yeah, he's a normal guy. And just because he has a big stage, I think it gives us more reason to judge him, and because we've seen his past more.
The
public is really... shown his past, so yeah. I don't know. Kanye, same thing, right?
Yeah, we didn't really get into Kanye much, but similar to Bieber,
just to highlight.
Hopefully, then, he's doing that. Yeah.
Rabbi Zacharias, he talked good stuff, did bad stuff.
That's tough.
Tough. Yeah, I know. And then Joel Osteen, we don't really know how to judge it. But
I think with Ravi and with Joel, if you did come to know Jesus through them, know that you are still saved if you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and if you know that he is the only way to the Father. If you understand why he died on the cross and what that means for you now, and you've accepted the Holy Spirit, then the rest of what they preach or what they did doesn't matter. You're saved by that. Yeah. You are. I mean, it's there's
the devil
no question
works,
about that.
The devil works. Yeah. And
don't be discouraged.
The devil works harder if someone's doing the right thing. And I think maybe you could see that in Rabbi Zacharias, where he was doing the right thing, and then the devil came involved in his life and made a lot of people second guess. And I think that's what this false prophets are, is Christians getting at Christians second guessing. But there are false prophets out there. Said it in the verse I read in First John. There, the Antichrist is out there, so we have to keep a close eye out. I think there was one other thing I was going to bring up, but I can't remember it.
We were going to bring up our sports analogy.
Oh yeah, but we're going to talk about just the steroids and
how your biggest and baddest stars in sports can deceive you like a false prophet by, you know, performance-enhancing drugs and deceiving their performance and trying to look better to do better. And that kind of relates to what we were talking about. And we didn't really use it, but
no,
you get the picture,
but
hopefully.
Yeah, you can see. Yeah. Barry Bonds went from a good player to a great player. And
yep.
He had everything written out, but...
Legend.
The fame took over and... There it is. But, yeah, that will wrap it up because I'm not going to remember what I was going to say. Abby was not here with us, but she still will produce this. So if you missed Abby, she will be back. She had a quick meeting to get to. I don't think we said that in this recording. I think it was in our first recording.
Oh, was it? Okay.
I think. I just want the fans
to
know.
Well, if you haven't guessed already, yeah, she wasn't here, so...
Right. If you're waiting for her to laugh or something.
Yeah.
But we love you guys. Thank you for the views. We just posted, we're recording on a Monday. So we got to see you guys listen to us.
Yeah.
And we appreciate it. We don't care if you don't, though. So whenever you're free, you can listen. But this is Zach and Jack, and we're just having fun, man.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. We'll see you guys next week.
Peace.